This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Good afternoon. It's 5 minutes past one. Pete Dillon with you. It is a ghastly, rainy, crappy-looking day outside of Melbourne, so I trust that you're either doing one of two things, drinking some wine in your pyjamas, or in fact on your way to DT's for the Bake Off. We'll talk to them a little later, and a whole bunch of other stuff as well. Talking cravings, it is 7 minutes past one. Hello, I'm Pete Dillon. And today, for no other reason apart from the fact that 44 years ago, I exited the womb on this day, we decided we would do exactly what we would like for this program. And so, if you're intending to go to Virginia Plain at any stage in the next couple of hours, I wouldn't bother because nobody's there. They're all here in the studio. I have what I feel like is the entire staff. And the ones that aren't here are apparently back doing work experience at Vue du Monde. We'll cover that in just a little bit. I have in the studio Matt, Andy and Stacey, all here from Virginia Plain. They're all absolutely gobsmacked in the background that I just said that. And we'll get over that fairly quickly. We're also going to have a chat today to Annabelle Crabb. She's the lovely political journalist who presents a show called a Kitchen Cabinet on the ABC. Series 2 of that program is about to start. What I'm most interested to know was, did she find any food in Bronwyn Bishop's hair? Because she did do one of these shows with Bronwyn Bishop, and Lord knows what's in that head of hers. Reason and common sense, I don't think, are two things that would exist, but oh, I'm having a go today, I really am. I'm also going to chat to my buddy Pete Evans for no particular reason, but we haven't spoken to Pete for ages, and he might give us a bit of an update on what's happening in my kitchen rules, if anything at all. And just towards the end of the show, we'll chat to the lovely people at Pride, because they're doing a, well, it's a cake competition, let's face it. It's the gay CWA happening over at DT's this afternoon. There are cakes and biscuits galore, and they're being judged by very good friends of ours. Kane Lillywhite presents a program on this very station. He was also in my kitchen rule, so there is today's tie-in for that. So, yes, we'll talk to the people at Pride about their cakes and things at DT's. 8 minutes past one. I'd love to hear from you, even if it's just to wish me many happy returns. 0427 569 949. That's 0427 Joy 949 for an SMS. Don't do that while you're driving, please. You can email onair@joy.org.au. You can send a tweet to cravings_joy949, or you can pick up the phone, dial 1300-JOY949. Chat to, I think, Mushin and Fernando are sitting on the desk. Can you hear the drums? 9 minutes past one. We wanted to say hello to Stacey and Andy and Matt. Matt, we've had you on the program before after you got unnecessarily booted out of a program that was a cooking program, I believe, called MasterChef. Welcome back.
G'day, Pete. It's good to be back. Happy birthday.
Thank you. And I've had a lot of coffee, which is, I think, why I'm in a slightly cheeky mood.
Yeah.
You're now working for, well, I nearly called it Vue du Plain, but it's called Virginia.
Oh!
It's called Virginia Plain, a new restaurant that's open here in Melbourne. What's your role? You're doing all sorts of things there, aren't you? You're like an ambassador.
Bit of an ambassador. Bit of Batman. The Virginia Plain Batman. You know, fix the computer if it needs to get fixed. I help with the beer list, so I write the beer list.
Yes, of which I believe there is a significant amount.
Yes, that is true. We've got around, I think roughly at the moment, including beers and ciders, around 40. We've got some really interesting stuff on tap.
See, I should be there this afternoon and going through the entire list and having one of each.
Well, after, you know, how about after, you know, we finish up here, we take you back.
Well, unfortunately, I'm expected elsewhere today because my local pub, who I'm going to give an enormous plug to, the Newport Junction Wine Bar and Beer Hall. Fabulous, fabulous people over there at Newport, and it's close to home. So if I do lose my pants, it's only back to Newport in the morning to find them, and, you know, with my dignity in the gutter as well. So yes, as much as I would like to take you up, I'll have to come in and do it though, because my birthday doesn't run for a day, it runs for a month.
I think birthday month is the best way.
It's called the Festival of Pete. It does go for a month, from the 6th of October until Melbourne Cup Day usually. Or the day after Melbourne Cup. Which happens to coincide with the United States election. So we'll be knowing
another
the results
great thing
of that.
To celebrate.
I know. So probably by about February, I'll find one of those alcohol-free days.
What's an AFD?
I don't know. Somebody suggested that I do Oxober.
What's that?
It's where you spend the entire month of October sober, which for anybody who knows me well enough...
I think wet October is probably the best solution.
45 minutes without a drink and I'm usually starting to get a bit narky.
Yeah, so. I get the shakes.
Matt, it's good to have you in. Andy, you're the chef. Now give us a bit of your potted history. You've got 2 minutes.
Okay, so originally from the UK, southwest of England, down near Bristol. Spent my early years working around the UK in 1 and 2 Michelin star restaurants.
Can you drop any names?
Worked at... for Paul Heathcote's up in Longridge. I worked over in France at Le Crayer's, 2 Michelin star there. And then eventually made my way over to the sunny side of the world.
Why? What brought you to Australia?
I think I wanted a change of direction of food, ingredients, and new and interesting people.
Because usually I find people say, oh, it was a woman that brought me over. I came over to chase a woman.
Well, I definitely came looking for one.
Have you had any luck with that?
Yes, I was very lucky to come across a very fine young lady.
Right.
It's your anniversary next Friday, isn't it?
Ah, thanks, Matt.
No worries.
Not very sweet.
He remembered.
Lending a little bit of sanity and a drop of estrogen to this discussion, Stacey, you're the sommelier at Virginia Plain.
Yes.
Welcome.
Thank you.
For those who don't know what a somm does, give us a quick rundown.
Pretty much I'm there to explain the wine list, because in a lot of restaurants in Melbourne, well, all over the world, the wine list can be a really daunting document. And basically we can cut your time in half and explain what's going on, find out what you like and get it in the glass pretty quickly.
And how do you do with tosspots like me who think they know everything already?
Deep breaths and...
accidentally spill a glass of Shiraz in my...
No.
That's karma for ordering Shiraz.
Yeah, it'd be very rare for me to order a Shiraz, I'll give you that hint. Unless it's made locally, some of my mates are making Shiraz in Heathcote, so I'll drink that. We're going to come back to you and your role and this wine list because it behooves on me to play some messages. This is Cravings here on Joy 94.9 with a very cheeky Pete Dillon. Tex has sent us a message to tell us that many happy returns. Thank you, Tex. Off to the bake-off after Cravings. Happy show. Cheers, Tex. Tex, thank you very much. Very kind of you to text in, and at least I know now the SMS machine thingy is working. 13 minutes past one here on Cravings. It is Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9.
Hi, this is Guy Grossi and you're listening to Joy 94.9.
Of course you are, because you should be doing that every Saturday and every day of the week. Joy 94.9, the gayest station in the nation, your community radio station. Matt, did you know that we are one of only 4 gay and lesbian, full-time gay and lesbian stations in the world?
No, actually, I didn't.
Did you know we're the only one in Australia?
Really?
Well, we are. There you go. Today's wonderful and thoughtful information. Stacey, back to you, because you're the one that with the most sense in this room today. How big is the wine list? You're talking 40 beers and ciders. So, how many wines have you got on your list?
We've got a bit over 300 different wines.
And I'm not having a go at you. I'm not having a go at anybody that has a big list. But I have a concern when I go for dinner. It takes me so long to choose the wine because there's so many wines on those lists. Books of them, like at Circa, for example. You know, the book is
biblical tomes.
It is a biblical tome. When you're putting a list together, what do you look for to make it up, and why do they end up so big? Because you want all your favourites on there?
Those larger lists are looking to represent the world of wine. That's the idea behind them, and looking to have depth. So you could have multiple vintages of many different wines. It's about showing a huge amount of stuff.
Diversity.
Pretty much. It's a difficult thing to manage and really, really difficult for a customer. And that's where the sommelier comes into it, because they're going to knock it down. You can't. You wouldn't be talking to the guests at your table if you were to scour that. So you need to talk to someone to make it happen quickly, pretty much.
And how much of your list would be considered alternative varieties?
Loads. Not necessarily. We don't have many from Australia at the moment by virtue of the size of the list. Well, we will. In terms of alternative varieties grown here,
Of the best alternative varieties wines in the world in this very country.
We're really lucky. There's a lot of experimentation because we're not bound by history here with wine. So we can grow anything and we can see what works.
We've got all of these wonderful microclimates that can grow all of these different wines. Like Northwest Victoria, for example, they're growing beautiful Sicilian varietals that like really hot, dry conditions.
There's a lot of stuff going on in Heathcote. We've got a Nero Davila from McLaren Vale on the list.
Who made that?
Brash Higgins. And it's a really cool wine. It's by the glass at the moment. And it's exciting because it shows a different form of the grape.
Do you have a Falanghina on your list?
We do.
One of my favourite wines is a Falanghina. But enough about me. Andy, talk me through the menu, because this is an interesting collection of all sorts of things. Where's the influence come from?
It's a very broad menu with influence of mostly
just in front of the mic,
European influences, and a touch of modern Australian in there as well.
What do you determine as modern Australian? As somebody who's not an Australian, it's a curious question.
Definitely using a lot of Pacific ingredients and native Australian ingredients, and because Australia. Culture's got so many different cultural influences. It breeds through into the food, basically.
I was having a chat to somebody just earlier who's a presenter of the Detours program, Mark. We were talking about he said he had a dish at a restaurant which will remain nameless, where there was foam. And he said, foams are so 2009. Any foam on your menu?
No, I don't think there is any foam.
Sand?
No, definitely no sand. That's down on the beach.
No. But there was this movement, and I don't know whether it still exists. I know some restaurants in Melbourne still are doing it. That there is a need to have foams and sands and agar-agar gels. And
it was the molecular era that came through maybe 5, 6, 7 years ago when it was in Melbourne, and it's sort of moved on 2 steps on from there now. I mean, there's touches of it floating around still here and there, but it's kind of progressed.
What are the heroes then in this day and age, if we've moved on from the complicated things we could do with food? What's now the hero?
I think people are looking at the more natural elements, you know, the raw
celebrating
flavors
the produce.
There. Yeah, it's
celebrating
all about
the quality
sourcing,
of the produce.
Sourcing, going to the farmer's market like we did this morning and finding the really tasty ingredients that necessarily you don't get from your mainstream suppliers. That's what the hero is at the moment, I think.
That's what I like to hear. You're with Pete Dillon here on Cravings. It's 19 minutes past one here on Joy 94.9. I have with me Stacey, Andy and Matt.
Thanks, Pete.
I'm just taking the piss. Matt Bayer, who is, they're all from Virginia Plain. If you're intending to be in there for lunch, stiff bickies, they're all in here looking after me.
We are open. It is true.
So how big is the team, Matt?
How many people do we have now?
Well, I was asking you that. No good looking.
I know. Well, I actually had to sort of sit there and think. There's 5 in the kitchen?
We're at 7 in the kitchen.
7 in the kitchen now.
Yep. Stacey, how many of you wine folk on the floor?
There's 3 of us at the moment.
Right.
Yeah. Which is good.
And then there's 6 people in the bar.
Right. 6
So
it's a big
massive
bar.
So the bar is actually probably one of our real centerpieces. It's the bit of the center stage of Virginia Plains. So when you first walk in, you see about, I think it's an 20 meter bar. And it's black marble, and we've got a massive selection of spirits as well. And pretty much we've got the kings of cocktails sort of working behind the bar. So we've got Sam Cameron, who used to work at 1806, and Tom or as we like to call him, Asian Johnny Depp. And
that wasn't a racist comment, I should hope.
No, he looks a lot like Johnny Depp.
But fair enough.
Yeah. And pretty much we're, heavily based on the bar culture as well. So we've got a lot of bar snacks as well that sort of can complement any cocktail as well. Can just be
any
made
pork
up on the
scratchings?
No, we've definitely got pig's ears though.
Okay, well that's close enough. Now, I was at the very beginning of the program taking a bit of the mick because it seems that there has been a slight migration from Vuedemont. Who brought all of those Vuedemont people with them? Was it you, Andy?
Well, I left Vuedemont 8 months ago,
mm-hmm.
and certain members of staff who had already left
right.
decided that they wanted to
so
come and work.
So this is purely coincidental?
Yes.
Yes. So no one's been out there poaching or anything?
Definitely not.
And Matt, you're sitting there looking like you're about to get in a god-awful amount of trouble.
I'm not saying anything.
That's all right. It's me saying it, and they can come after me. I won't be invited to any free lunches at Virginia Plain. I can see that. It is 21 minutes past one here on Joy 94.9. I would like to hear from you, 0427 Joy949. Are you off to Bake Off this afternoon? You can email on air at joy.org.au. You can phone 1300 Joy949, or you can send a tweet to cravings_joy949. I'm just waiting on the tweet to arrive from the lovely people at the Royal Mail Hotel in Dunkirk, who seem to get a mention every week because they always send me a tweet every week. So I shall wait for that message to come through because I know they're listening. And I have to say hello to the people in Priceline and Subway just here in Bourke Street who keep us tuned in on their in their stores as well. Don't forget, you can become a member at any stage. Ring the guys on the desk, 1300 Joy 949. Family full concession, under 18 business. You choose your membership because you need to keep us on air. We will be speaking in a little bit to Pete Evans, who some of you may know from a television show here and there. Also speaking to Annabelle Crabb, who some of you also may know for a TV show. She's a wonderful political journalist doing Kitchen Cabinet. And we will chat to the team at Bake Off a little later. Now, where was I up to? Wine, beer, cider, food. Where is Virginia Plain?
Next door to Cumulus, 31 Flinders Lane.
Okay, well, we weren't supposed to be that specific, but we will. And you're doing some something for spring lunch, spring greys, or is this just a spring lunch?
We certainly are. We're offering two courses and a glass of wine and complimentary coffee for $35.
We're going to later talk about money on this show. You'll have me kicked off the show in a minute. So it's a great place to go and meet for a beverage.
Brilliant place.
Or go and have some food.
It's great for a snack. It's great for a cocktail. You can come in for a light little lunch. Just come in and just sit at the bar and get some, you know, some frog roll croquettes and, you know.
Oh, my God.
And pound back on a...
I want those now.
Well, when you come in, how about, because it is your birthday.
Yes.
How about we give you a nice little birthday treat?
That's all right. You can't talk about that on air either because we don't do any cash for comment on this program.
No.
Whatsoever, it doesn't happen. There seems to be a movement in, and I'm going to you first, Stacey, on this question, a movement in Melbourne. We have got completely away from traditional dining. And by traditional dining, I mean, you know, entree, stiff, main, dessert, blah, blah, blah. Into a very informal and very casual way of eating. Do you think that's fair? I mean, you guys are out there on the hustings, so to speak.
No, definitely. I've just come back from working in London, and Melbourne is very much considered...
the centre of the universe.
Outside of the centre of the universe.
I thought that was UP.
But people view Melbourne as a real capital for smart dining and as a real benchmark for it being done very well, both through great service, smart, slick, informal, fun service, mm-hmm. which seems to be something we do really, really well here, which makes people that work on the floor in restaurants in Melbourne a real commodity. If you move overseas, people mm-hmm. want you because they know you work hard and you'll do a good job. But that is definitely how we're viewed, and it is a strength, and it is what's going on.
Let me sort of throw that question around the other way then. Having just come back from London, and obviously, Andy, you're from the UK, is this style of service happening in the UK, or are they behind? What's different about the two cities, if you will?
I think the dining in the UK is a lot more starch and regimented.
I think there's definitely a lot more of that style of dining, for sure. And in recent time, I think that a lot of big restaurants have found that that isn't sustainable to just have that restaurant that is the starchy place.
And they will always, I mean, Claridge's will always be there.
Absolutely.
That style of dining. But there's a young fellow by the name of Stevie Pyle who's doing some...
Yeah, I know Stevie very well.
He's an adorable man.
Kitchen,
Does these pop-up restaurants that are just done in furniture stores and all sorts of things.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Are very successful. And he's becoming very, very well recognised for the fact that he's sort of bunking the myth of that very sort of stiff British dining.
Exactly. Stevie was working at the River Cafe when I first started there, and he started this kind of pop-up with one of the other head chefs. Mm. And they moved through a whole series of venues, from a rowing club to a furniture shop to...
And then he's been this year and done one in Lebanon.
It's extraordinary. Mm. He's done some great stuff. And he now has his own venue, the Dock Kitchen, and it's going really well. It's in a Tom Dixon's furniture warehouse. And he's part of a movement of younger people that are actually now able to find financing and space where landlords haven't had success with other restaurant traditional restaurant models, and areas of Soho are opening up to younger entrepreneurs. A lot of stuff going on with pop-ups with caravans and temporary movements on car parks in southern London, where they're just seasonal venues, but they're happening. It is bubbling away, and it's becoming more dominant. And I think there is a lot more in common with that side of dining in London with what's going on here in Melbourne.
Andy, how do you think that sort of dining will change London, given that it is traditional in so many ways?
I think it'll just be a fantastic thing because it'll bring so much more fun back into the industry. You can notice it's such a big noticeable thing that working here in Melbourne, where people, it's a touch more relaxed, it's more fun, it's more enjoyable, and it breeds through into the back of the house, the front of the house, and it just... you know, lifts everybody up. Because, I mean, traditionally in the UK, especially where it's very hard, very starchy, it's very, very intense work. Mm. And that's slowly changing now, which is really good. It's better for the industry.
It's more sustainable.
Well, it's easier to manage.
Absolutely.
Simple. It's 27 minutes past one here on Joy 94.9. We'll have some messages. We'll listen to a little bit of music, and we'll be back to chat with Pete Evans, amongst other things. This is Cravings, 27 minutes past one.
Joy 94.9.
Oh, that was the Baseballs with Don't Ya. I think that is a cracking track. I like it a lot because it's a cover of the Pussycat Dolls. The Baseballs, just a bunch of guys who sing everything like they are Elvis Presley. It's good. We might even hear a second track of theirs in a little bit. Joining me in the studio, I have Stacey, Andy and Matt, all here from Virginia Plain. But, well, because of what day today is, I thought it... Oh, heck, Pete Evans, hello.
Happy birthday, Pete.
Oh, thanks, buddy. How you doing?
I'm good. I'm shopping for my daughter's for some clothes. So,
A
little break for a few minutes isn't bad.
That's good.
A little bit of background noise, so I apologise for that.
That's all right. We like a bit of ambience when we speak. Mate, how's things happening with the little television show and things?
The little television show, we're about a third of the way through filming, and we've just been around the country. And we've got a cracker of a series. My Kitchen Rules is gearing up for, I think, another rating success. It's going to be hot.
Well, look, with you and Manu in it, how can it not be hot?
Oh, you're too kind. No, this is fantastic team, some good cooking. We've both great. I can't tell you too much about it.
No, you can't, because then you'd have to shoot me. But look, it's only you and I having a chat. Nobody will know. Are there any characters we can look forward to?
Well, there's Manu.
Yeah, well, we know that. You two are trouble.
Oh, there's some eye candy for you, Pete. That's for sure. There's a couple of... I can't tell you, but there's eye candy, definitely.
Well, we like a bit of eye candy on the television, and it's anything that is not Bryn Edelston on the television is a good thing.
On another note, I'm going to be coming back to Melbourne to open a restaurant soon. You're the first to know.
Oh, hooray. When, Pete, when?
Probably February, but that's all I can tell you. I'll update you in a couple of weeks.
I was going to say, you and I can chat offline about that.
Yeah,
because that's exciting.
No, I'll get back on to the radio station with you in a couple of weeks and tell you all about it.
That'll be brilliant.
It's really exciting stuff.
Well, because you're Massimo's doing all your work up there, you must be getting bored. Well, you know, he's your exec chef across the Hugo's Group, which is, you know, the series of restaurants that you still have. So you probably need a project, do you?
No, I don't have those restaurants anymore. That's why I'm coming back.
Ah.
The Hugo's is for the Hugo's, and I'm on my own at the moment.
Ah, okay. Well, we do need to talk offline. I have not been reading my emails very closely. So can you give us an idea of location?
Melbourne.
Good. Okay, that's lovely. We will all be very excited. Now, one of my guests in the studio has asked, will there be dancing in My Kitchen Rules this year?
Say that again, mate.
One of my guests in the studio is asking, will there be dancing in the program this year in My Kitchen
Rules?
Dancing? Well, yeah. With Manu, he's been pretty good. He's been proving his skills.
And Manu's been on the Dancing with the Stars. Surely you've got to keep up.
Oh, no, isn't he good? That boy's been everywhere.
He's been
on samples, ads saying, down Campbell.
He's been, well, speaking of Eds, Norska.
Yes.
It's nice to see Norska back with a bit of a vengeance.
Yes. Well, who do we have? We had Wayne Cooper. We had someone else on there as well.
And you advertise. Does it work when you're in the kitchen? You know, a bit of a with the...
I think that's all. What stinky bloke can we get on there to help us out? Wayne Cooper, six. Pete Evans, six. I don't know. I should have probably thought about Manu. He's pretty stinky.
Oh, is he?
No, he's a Frenchman. He loves his cologne and his aftershave and things like that. I asked him once. I said for my birthday, I said, that aftershave that you wear is fantastic. I said, I'd love to get a bottle. He goes, giving you my scent? I do not think so.
Wipe a bit of Manu stink on you. So when you come to when you come back to Melbourne, are you bringing the boat? Because we still have to go out fishing.
Mate, I'd love to go fishing. I went up to the Northern Territory twice this year and took a couple of groups of people fishing and cooking. So we go out, catch barra, then come back and clean it all up, do a cooking class, and then I cook dinner for a group of people. That was cool. That was at Bamaroo Plains. We're going to be doing it again next year. So if anyone's keen, and possibly Ningaloo Reef at Sasala, I'm going to be doing the same thing.
Okay,
cooking,
I'm
fishing.
I'm coming to manage the refreshments or something. I'm involved. Count me in. I reckon I can handle a bit of fishing on a big boat and a bit of drinking.
What are you doing for your birthday?
Today, I'm going to the pub, Pete.
Is the footy still on or anything like that?
No, footy's all done. The Storm and the Swans took everything over last weekend. So the Melbourne Trophy went to Sydney and the Sydney Trophy came to Melbourne. So we're quite happy. We've swapped trophies for the year. So footy's all over. So, yeah, mate, it's just me and about 40 mates off to the pub for a bit of a beverage.
Unreal. We'll have a couple for me.
I will indeed, mate. Always good to talk to you. And we'll talk in a couple of weeks when you've got some big news about your return to this fair city.
Returning to the tools. It'll be fun. See you, mate.
Excellent. Good to talk. Cheers, Pete.
Bye, mate.
He's good fun, isn't he?
He's excellent.
He is good fun. And I'm very pleased he's coming back to Melbourne. I didn't know that he'd split with the Hugo's group. You heard it right here first on Cravings here on Joy 94.9, where it's 22 minutes to 2. I would like to know whether you're heading off to Bake Off, because very soon we'll be speaking to the lovely people from Pride March, who are going to be talking to us about some of the cakes that have turned up there at DT's and whether they're fancy. And we're also going to speak to the lovely Annabelle Crabb. She presents Kitchen Cabinet on ABC 2, I think. ABC One. She's cooking with politicians. When I think she's a very brave woman, because she was in the kitchen with Jovial Joe Hockey, I think, in this coming series.
Brave lady.
Well, I think he'd eat everything. Joe looks like he's not too shy of a calorie. It is 20 minutes to 2. Of course, the boys from Fender Bender will be in after 2 o'clock. So what's happening? Is anything happening at Virginia Plain today? It's just... We're just a standard Saturday.
Well, you know, we just released our new spring menu,
right?
And it's totally kick-ass.
Which
ass.
I do believe I have in front of me. What would have been a little more helpful if I'd have got my glasses out of the car, because it's in very small print.
I think for me, I think it's a real chef menu. Like, the way I look at it, it's like real chefy food that, you know, they want to kind of eat, but it's approachable for everyone.
Andy, perhaps you should talk about the menu, given you're the chef. Is it a chef menu?
No, I think the first menu was probably more of a chef menu, just to get it up and going and get people with some really special food. But this one's a lot more easier going for people. We've broadened the spectrum on a lot of the food.
Now, you know that you told me a fib, don't you?
Oh, I know exactly what you're going to say.
I've just found something. He's been lying to you, lady. On radio, he's been lying to you, ladies and gentlemen. I have just found a spring vegetable shallot puree with bacon foam. I found foam on the menu, and thus I must return it to the desk. We're going to be back with Annabelle very shortly, but I thought I would, because we enjoyed it so much, play another track from the Baseballs. This time I think we might have a bit of a cover of Jenny Lopez's Let's Get Loud, because this is fun as well. This is Cravings here on Joy 94.9, where it's 20 minutes to 2.
Joy 94.9.
It is 17 minutes to 2 here on Cravings on Joy 94.9. My name is Pete Dillon, taking you through until 2 o'clock. Thank you to the lovely people at the Royal Mail Hotel who have said happy birthday, Pete, from all of us here in Dunkeld. Thank you, team. And also from Donna Frock Oh, two lovely Pete's. Happy birthday, gorgeous. Raising a glass for you. So thank you, Donna. I'm just feeling the love today. And speaking of feeling the love, somebody who I love to feel the love from, she's Annabelle Crabb from now Kitchen Cabinet on ABC2. Annabelle, good afternoon.
Hello. How are you doing?
Good. Now, I believe I've actually dragged you away from the kitchen as we speak.
I don't want to, give anyone the wrong idea, but yes, I am cooking at the moment. So
you're not whipping up something for Joe Hockey?
I'm not. I've finished cooking for Joe Hockey. I'm making some cinnamon buns at the moment.
Ooh,
I do love a hot bun. That
sounds a little saucy.
It does a bit. Yeah.
Annabelle, talk us through the new series. Obviously, series one, for those that didn't see, this is you cooking with Pollies.
Yeah. So the idea is, the format is, let's just say I politely demand to be invited around to lunch or dinner at a politician's house, and I take dessert along and they cook me a main meal, and I kind of make sure that they don't do too much before I get there because I want to watch them cook, and then while they're cooking, we have a bit of a chat, then we eat, and then we have dessert with curtain.
Now, a respected political journalist as you are, what sort of swayed you to take up this almost non-serious attempt at television?
Oh, well, I'm a really keen cook myself, and I like talking about cooking with other people. And in the whole time that I've been a political journalist, I've always noticed that you always get more out of people. I always find it easier and more useful to take out a politician and go to lunch instead of, trying to do an interview with a tape recorder and so on. I mean, there are obviously lots of times when that is the way you do it. But
yes,
in order to find out a bit more about exactly what is driving them, and often you get a lot more frankness too, I find it helps if there's food involved. Look, it's not very scientific. Half the time it's just, when people have got something else to do with their hands, they kind of don't concentrate so much on what they're saying, or they just feel... It makes it more difficult for them to get lost in sort of jargon and the kind of political speak that
they used to.
Well, I mean, they kind of have to do that stuff. I mean, their media requirements on politicians are now so much bigger than they used to be that they kind of have to construct this way of dealing with being interviewed, which is totally dead. I mean, if you watch the endless interviews that modern politicians do, they're saying the same thing half the time. It's kind of a form of...
And half the time it's just a bunch of crap.
Well, everybody tunes out. And look, this is kind of a modern problem in some ways because the demands of media, sort of escalating, expanding media sphere on politicians are just so much bigger than they used to be. But I just think, as political reporters, like working in Canberra, we often get to see politicians off duty and we get to find out a bit more about them in those opportunities, which I always found a real privilege when I was living and working there. And it always interested me that some people, are very different when they're not sort of in that politician mode. They're quite a different person, or you might find out a lot more interesting stuff about how they came to be in politics or, in my case, things that they like to cook. That's the sort of stuff that I ask people about if I'm just having dinner with them casually, and we don't have to be talking about, immigration policy or something. So,
Dick Adams was a nice surprise for me in series one. Series two, I know that you're cooking with Bronnie Bishop, and I imagine she's got quite a fancy little pad.
Bronnie is terrific, She is a real sport. She's a genuine icon, of Australian politics. No matter what you think of her, everybody knows who she is. The opportunity to go and hang out at Bronnie's place was very, very tempting to me. So
I can sort of see her cooking, sort of just whacking a wooden spoon in the bun at the back of the hair while she's doing something with a knife.
Oh, it's all about that. Look, she brought out more polished silverware than I've ever seen in my entire life.
That doesn't surprise me at all.
And the other thing about her plates, which is so fascinating, is that, in the sort of 70s, she was a kind of very distinguished, young chef and hostess about town. So there's this really old kind of copies of gourmet magazines and so on that have these colour spreads of her and her husband entertaining with, the brilliant dish that she made for this particular article for what I saw was ham rolls in aspic.
Oh, my Lord.
You get like a litre of aspic and you basically suspend these rolled up bits of ham from a pate in them. I mean, it was just unbelievable.
Hysterical. She's a bit like the June Delly Watkins of the opposition front bench, isn't she?
Look, absolutely. So, look, she she's got lots of really fascinating stories to tell. I mean, she is a larger than life character, even though she's teeny tiny. And she, that was a great episode, actually.
And Jovial Joe? Was he a hungry lad?
Joe Hockey is the first came off the rank. He goes to air on Wednesday night at 9:30. And he was hilarious because he said upfront, look, I am not a cook. And normally I'm a bit fussy. I like to have people on the show who can cook just because I think, you know, if you're watching that and you like to cook, you like to learn something. But here's the thing. Joe Hockey, when he's in Canberra, lives in a place that I call the frat house. He bought a house many years ago when he first got into Parliament, and it's like a four-bedroom house. And when Parliament's sitting, he stays there, and he rents out rooms to other politicians. So it's
Good Lord.
It's like a freaky...
liberal, blue-blood frat house.
Well, exactly. And the great... I mean, I've heard stories of this house for years, right?
And, to be a fly on the wall.
Yes or not, really. I don't know. I mean, careful what you wish for. So one of the great things about this house is that for many years, Brendan Nelson lived there, but not in one of the rooms in the house. He lived in the shed, like in the garage.
Some would say where he belongs.
Hardship, the old Brendan. And so I was dead keen to get in this house and have a bit of a round. And look, you learn a lot of interesting things about Joe Hockey when you watch this episode. One of them is you learn a bit too much about his choice in bed sheets than you probably ever wanted to know.
Ew.
And you do get a look at this fabulous garage where Brendan Nelson used to sleep. And he stayed there, Brendan did, even when he was defence minister, even when he was leader of the Liberal Party, he still lived in this terrible shed.
Wow.
It's quite eye-popping, yeah.
And who else was a surprise in this series? Because it's how many pollies do you meet in series two?
I've got six episodes, so six pollies.
And so who else was a surprise? So you've got Joe Hockey, Bronnie Bishop.
Yep. I've done Christine Milne.
Oh, she'd be fun.
Greens. Look, she's fascinating too because, you know, people don't know her as well as they know Bob Brown, but she's also a really keen cook. She's a good cook, so we have a bit of a natter about that. But she tells a lot of stories about, you know, being at the forefront of gay law reform in Tasmania. And she, I mean... I guess it's just not very long since homosexuality was a criminal offence in Tasmania. She tells some pretty extraordinary stories from that campaign, which is not very long ago. It's quite sobering, really, when you hear that stuff. And look, she really sort of unfolds a bit, Christine. It's a really good episode. So we've done her. We've done Peter Garrett. As well, and also the and also Barnaby Joyce, and also the Labor senator from Western Australia called Louise Pratt.
Oh, I like her.
Yeah, she's
interesting story for this station as well.
Absolutely fascinating story, and she was so gracious to me as well. I mean, one of the things about this program is that it works a bit different from a normal political interview. In that, like, if I'm going to ask somebody about something really personal, I'll make sure that we talk about it in advance and that they're okay to talk about it and so on. Like, I'm a journalist, obviously, but I'm also going around to someone's house, so I don't want to, like, kick the door down. And I said, look, I would really like to talk to you about the story of your partner's sex change and how that's affected your political identity. Because, of course, she's always campaigned as an out lesbian.
She's a huge campaigner for GLBT rights. Annabelle, I've actually got to get a little bit rude. I've got another guest waiting on the phone, and you and I could talk for hours as a pair of old journalists. Darl, thank you for joining me. Now, Wednesday night, ABC2, what time?
At 9:30 on ABC2. It's on Wednesday night, starting this Wednesday night, and then for 6 weeks thereafter.
Fantastic.
So do tune in.
We will talk again. Annabelle Crabb, thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
She's lovely, Annabelle Crabb. She's a political journalist and the host of Kitchen Cabinet. As she said, ABC 2, Wednesday night at 9 o'clock. Now, very quickly, we've got to cross over to DT's Hotel because the Pride Bake Off is on over there. We've got precious minutes left to go. Shane, how are you going?
Good. How are you?
Good, thank you. Shane is the president of Pride Victoria. Give us a bit of a rundown on some of the cakes that have turned up. And has Tex arrived yet with his special cakes?
No, Tex hasn't come in yet. But I'm not even sure if Tex is bringing a cake, although I believe he's coming this year.
A text message earlier from Tex Well, that sounds a bit wrong. A text message said that an SMS from Tex said that he will be off to the Bake Off after Craving. So I assume that he is on his push bike as we speak.
Oh, that'll be good to see him. I always look forward to seeing Tex and his cake every year.
Yes. What's some of the cakes that you've got there?
Well, so far, you know, our registrations actually don't open until 2. So it's amazing that we've already got 4 cakes here.
Wow.
Which is fantastic. So people are turning up early. It's going to be a really good day. We've got...
A question there for you, Shane. Hang on.
I said, was there any croquembouches?
No croquembouches just
it's
yet.
It's all about the whoopie pies now, isn't it?
Croquembouches, so 2009. Keep going.
I've got a lovely colourful cake here from the National Tertiary of National Tertiary Education Union.
Yes.
City of Yarra put in a PAV.
Oh, nothing so like a PAV.
Thank you very much. No, we love a PAV.
Have the cops arrived yet with their offerings?
Not yet. No. They'll be down very shortly, they assure me.
They
and
will
what we're
be.
Actually doing this year is we're is as the cakes come in, we're photographing them and sending them to our Twitter feed. So if anybody wants to see
what
the
that's fancy. Like, and that would allow people to bid for them not being at DT's. They can bid via the telephone, could they not?
We haven't got technological enough to take telephone bids as yet.
Oh, look, somebody just needs to ring you on their mobile.
To come down.
Mm.
Well, if somebody wants to phone a bid through, I'll see what we can do.
Well, the better idea is for people to come down to DT's, which is in Richmond, come down to the Pride Bake Off, have a bit of a look around, have a look at the cakes, and then, you know, stay around, have a couple of lemonades.
Definitely. Come down, have a drink, have a bid, and see if you can put some money towards Pride March Victoria. We really, really do need it this year. It's been a very stressful year for us.
And it's horribilious.
We're going to turn it all around.
Mm. But, so what's the money go towards?
I'm sorry?
What's the money go towards, Shane?
The money goes towards running the event in February. So Pride March is happening on February 3rd this year in 2012.
Mm-hmm.
And without the money that we get today, we can't run the event. So if you come along to Pride every year and you enjoy the march and enjoy the party afterwards, then please come down and help us make it happen again in 2013.
So registrations are open at 2:00. People can pop down with a PAV or a Swiss roll,
registrations
perhaps.
Open in just minutes now, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously follow our Twitter feed at Pride March Vic.
And what time is the auction?
Auction is at 5. The lovely Lindsay is coming down to auction off all those
cakes. She's a
hoot. She's amazing. She's fantastic. And she supports us every year, so we're very, very grateful.
Look, she is a stalwart of our community, and without that particular lesbian, this community would be in a great deal of trouble. Shane, thank you for talking to us. Good luck this afternoon. We hope you raise bucket loads of money.
Thank you so much, Pete. I really appreciate the...
Keep that Kane Lily White away from the cakes, because I reckon he'll be in having a bit of a lick and a taste when he's doing a judging.
Definitely.
Good on you.
All
thanks,
right.
Shane.
Thank you so much.
That's Shane Marquis from the president of Pride March Victoria down there at DT's. Get down there after this program is finished. It's 2:04.
Joy 94.9.
We have 2 minutes before we wrap this up and hand over to those lovely fender bending boys outside who are chomping at the bit, ready to get in and talk about cars. And the question that I always ask chefs when they come into this studio, and you can't avoid it, we all have a secret shame. You get home from work at 1:00 in the morning, you've worked your backside off, you're sweating like there's no tomorrow, and you just want a little something to eat. What's your secret shame? What do you open or cook?
There is a fantastic kebab shop just down the road from my house.
No, you're not allowed to buy. What do you cook?
What do I cook at home?
Late at night.
I'm very partial to beans on toast.
See, there's two things that always come up. Beans on toast, people love baked beans, or toasty cheese sandwiches. Or, yeah, you know, some people get a bit fancy, call them a croque monsieur. What do you eat when you get home, Stacey? Not that you're a chef, but what do you eat when you go home late at night?
The toasted cheese sandwich is big on my agenda when I get home. The Jaffel Maker has saved me many, many late nights.
What a gift to humanity that was.
Charcuterie. Just Riette on toast and just a big glass of Pinot.
Mm, so he's not even talking into the microphone anymore. He's that laid back, he doesn't care. He apparently
Riette.
Something called Riette, which is a bit of, you know, minced
duck
up
Riette.
Rabbit with some fat. Or duck Riette.
Duck Riette. Duck Riette and Pinot. It's the ultimate midnight snack.
The ultimate midnight snack. You know, most people would toast a cheese sandwich,
Max.
Open some... No, we weren't... I said you're not allowed to buy it. It had to be something you would eat. Do stay tuned to Joy for the rest of the afternoon. I assure you it will not be as raucous as this has been. I'm simply blaming caffeine and the cold. Thank you to your, for your lovely wishes on the occasion of my exiting of the womb. If you feel like you've been invited, come down to the pub this afternoon. We're there from 3:30. Coming up are the boys from Fender Bender. They'll be followed by Hannah with Little Fish. There's all sorts of things happening for the rest of the afternoon. Stacey, Andy and Matt, thank you for coming and playing with me in the studio. Thank you to Pete Evans and to Shane and also to the lovely Annabelle Crabb. I will be back with you next week. This has been Cravings on Joy 94.9.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.